everybody believes that you are the mayor for life. How do you feel about that?
Sure. First of all, let me thank you for your service and thank praise for allowing us to be here, Radio One, and to give all praises to Kathy Hughes.
Yes.
Kathy Hughes has exceeded everybody's expectations except her own.
Mm-hmm.
I remember knowing her. I think I met Kathy in 66, 67, right after I got back to Washington. And she and Dewey Hughes were over at WOL, owned by white folks then. It was.
Yeah.
That was the thing in the South. With the white folks had these black broadcasting, but they didn't own the broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And Kathy Hughes has just been fantastic to come up to these studios and to know Kathy and all the radio stations she has around the country. It makes my, I just tear up thinking about her.
Yeah.
So Kathy, I love you. We've had our moments, ups and downs, hot and cold, but we've always been true to each other.
Yeah.
And it's just great to see a black woman exceeding in a field that's hard to succeed in.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that.
Yeah.
In terms of Mayor for Life, God has blessed me with a lot of vision, a lot of tenacity, a lot of endurance, a lot of things I've done. I've laid the foundation for a whole bunch of things in this city, where Forbes magazine has put out that Washington, D.C. is the number one city to live in.
Wow.
It didn't just happen by happenstance.
That's right.
It happened because I added to the foundation.
That's right.
I made the foundation, and God has blessed me to be alive to continue to see that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why this day is so important.
I know that's right.
I was born poor and black in Mississippi, in poverty. Mother and father went to the third or fourth grade in school, and my mother pushed me to get an education.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Lemoyne College, went to Memphis when I was 8, Lemoyne College, and get a bachelor's, then the Fisk, get a master's. And I was at the University of Tennessee in chemistry for 3 years.
Wow.
The only black student out of 3,000 white students in graduate school. And I had to be pretty good to stay there because that would be average. And I stayed there 3 years until I just got tired of that, got in the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
But God has blessed me so mightily. When I first heard the name Mayor for Life from City Paper, I didn't like it because it reminded me of Papa Doc in Haiti, who was president for life, who people said was a dictator and all, et cetera. But the more people talked to me, they talked to me, they said, Mayor forever, Mayor this. Because I'd done so much,
yeah.
I was, see, if you give love out, you get love back.
That's right.
If you give service out, you get service back. If you give prayers out, you get prayers back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened to me. I was very ill earlier this year. Had a blood infection.
Yeah.
I couldn't walk. I couldn't turn over in the bed. I couldn't do anything. And that takes about a third of the people out of here. And God saw fit to bring me back with the prayers of the people and good doctors. I'm back. I'm about 80%.
Hmm.
I'm in physical therapy, but my brain is still sharp.
Yes, it is.
My mind is sharp. My vision is clear.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing we're going to talk about a little bit later is my whole new movement now is to save these black boys.
Wow.
I mean, they got to be saved
because
we are growing a generation of young black men who don't share the responsibility. They have babies and stereotyping them, don't take care of them. They're getting locked up in large numbers. We got to save these black boys.
That's true.
So I'll be calling on the entire city, preachers and teachers and lawyers and doctors and sanitation workers and everybody to help us put together programs of prevention. We catch these young men early and give them opportunities early.
Yeah.
Get them a job at age 14. They can progress. The greatest dropout is between the 10th and 11th grade.
Wow.
I'm on the education committee.
Okay.
And so that's our new movement, is to save these black boys.
I love it.
We're going to join with Barack and my brother's keepers and anybody else that's working on saving these black boys. And not only am I going to push that, I'm going to push putting money at an $11 billion budget.
Mm.
I've talked to Mira Bowser about that. She supports this effort. She'll be our next mayor, I think.
Yeah, I heard you say that.
And so we just have to just be steadfast
yeah.
and pray hard to God.
Mm.
You know, God is a God of the mountaintop. He's a God of the valleys. My Bishop Staples taught me that.
Bless God.
I'm a member of Temple of Praise.
Yes, sir.
In Southeast, 700 Southern Avenue. We got about 8,000-9,000 members. He started with 800 20 years ago, so he must be a mighty preacher.
He is a mighty preacher.
He preaches three times a Sunday.
Yeah.
And very rarely does he let anybody in the pulpit outside of his son, who's now a pastor, and T.D. Jakes and a few others.
Right.
But he does this himself.
I love it.
This is his ministry. It's to teach and preach. He teaches more than he preaches.
Yeah.
I'd rather have teachers than I have preachers. But he does both. Teach. He can hoop too. Necessary.
Now, the Washington Post says, to understand the District of Columbia, one must understand Marion Barry. I got to tell you, I grew up here, born and raised here in Washington, D.C. My mother moved on Georgia and Jefferson when I was a month old, and our family home is still there today. So I'm a Ward 4 baby, uptown girl, all the way. And I said, when they told us this was Marion Barry Day, I said, I have to get the opportunity to tell you thank you. Thank you, because at 15, my first job was at HUD, do your summer program.
Oh, yeah.
Your summer program sparked something in me, a professionalism in me that I tell you, no other opportunity has ever given me. From there on, I became leaders of this and leaders of that. But every summer we had major jobs. And no other mayor has been able to take that program and make it as successful as your mayoral candidacy or your term did. I mean, we never missed a payment. We never had, any issues. I mean, at 15, I worked for the Housing of Urban Development. I was able to put that on my resume going into college, that this is where I work. And many of us in my peer zone worked at these major places and have this backbone that you set up. The city was family when you were there. And that's because you weren't just a political mayor or a mayor for the nation. You were a mayor for the people of the city. Everybody on our block were family oriented. That's the atmosphere in your tenure that was set in our city. And I just personally want to say, as a Washingtonian, as an uptown girl, I just want to say thank you.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. You know, I had this vision about a summer job long ago. I grew up, as I said earlier, poor. I remember when I was in Memphis, my mother and my stepfather sold their house to the Memphis Housing Authority for $15,000. They bought another one for $25,000. I grew up in a house without any electricity, any running water, anything. That shows that if you have the power of God with you, you have the tenacity, and you have the endurance, you can overcome poverty.
Wow.
Most people who are born in poverty die in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And so that summer job was an idea I had. I had to bag groceries, chop cotton, pick cotton, sell rags, do anything. But if I got into any position, which I did, my first year, I told my directors, the year before in 78, we had 4,000 summer jobs. I said, I want to give a summer job to everybody who wants one.
That's right.
And 25,000 summer jobs were given.
My first one was in 1980.
We didn't have computers. We didn't have these things to keep track like we do now.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some little ripples, but it got to be the finest program in America. Over 100,000 young people have gone through the summer job program.
I know your heart is glad when you see some of us
and
that
I
are
see
recipients.
You
yeah,
and see others. I see police officers. I see firemen. I see teachers. I see all kinds of people, sanitation workers and others, who got their first summer job through our program. And we did it with a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
We weren't giving out anything, weren't handing out anything. We did what was earned. These young people had to earn.
That's right.
Earn that. Summer job is falling on a hard time now.
Yeah.
Only 11,000 young people this summer. I've talked to Mira Bowser about that, and she commits herself to a summer job for every young person who wants one. And 5,000 meaningful year-round summer job.
Amen.
Where young people can have some, like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Lady called me just last week. She said, Mr. Barry, I hear that you're going to have a day for you, but let me just say this. I wouldn't be where I am today if it weren't for you.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I got a job in some federal agency. I don't know which one.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I'm at 20-some years later, I'm still there.
Wow.
I got my start. They name requested me in the 11th grade, in the 12th grade. After I graduated, they hired me.
Hmm.
And that could be repeated all over.
Yeah, yeah.
With these 100,000 young people.
And I think you'll see a difference in the lives of these young men.
So I'm
you
work
know
on that
you're working, you know, working with if those that kind of atmosphere was back in the district. We're going to take some calls with some folk. The phones are lit up. Folk want to talk to the mayor for life. So we're going to take some calls, going to go to music for a minute and come back with Mayor Marion Barry. You don't want to miss it. Stay close to Praise 104.1.
Praise 104. Lieutenant governor in a predominantly white state,
yeah.
Virginia, particularly the South Side, where you got those rednecks down there, and he got to be governor with a majority white state. And that takes quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great lawyer, a good friend. We mentioned Herbert Reed. Herbert Reed was a professor at Harvard Law School,
yeah.
Constitutional law. Herbert Reed was on the local portion of the Brown versus Wait. Education.
Mm-hmm.
It was on Spotswood versus the superintendent. I don't know who it was at that time. He helped carry that case.
Got it.
He's among the giants in the legal field in the country. He's now passed, but he contributed so much to the constitutional law and Howard. He built the Howard Law School up, acting dean at one point. But more importantly, he was one of those people who never forgot where he came from.
Yeah.
Rocky Mountain, North Carolina. He went to Harvard. Got on time when black people weren't going to Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
No way you'd be going to Harvard. But he came back and gave back. He was a colleague of Thurgood Marshall, who became associate judge. Incidentally, Cheryl, I was never so happy at my first inauguration.
Wow.
Thurgood Marshall swore me in.
Mm.
Can you imagine a lawyer who had defended me and got me out of jail for civil rights stuff and then went to the Supreme Court as an associate, as a liberal judge, swore me in on January 2nd.
Yeah, that's humbling.
1979.
Wow.
And never in my wildest dreams. My mother was there. Effie was there.
Mm-hmm.
Chris was a little boy then.
Yeah.
And he was there. I saw his picture out here on the wall of him and said, go, they were showing.
Yeah.
But you don't, it just fills you up with joy to know that people appreciate the kind of many things that you've done. And they remember what you've done.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have short memories.
Yeah.
And we act like we don't remember anything. And when Doug was speaking, I was thinking about what I say to people. Be careful of the people you step on on the way up. Because you meet those same people on the way down.
That's the truth.
And you meet them faster because you go down faster than you go up.
We're talking to the Mayor for Life, Marion Barry. Radio One is calling this Marion Barry Day. We've deemed it that. And celebrate our Mayor for Life, Marion Barry, who's in studio with us today. We're Praise 104.1.